Yeah, I can't imagine what your like desk life would be like. Yeah, if you worked in an office, your office would be a disaster.
I'm cleaner than you think I am, though.
Oh, okay.
I'm just a disorganized mess, like, in my mind.
No, I'm not saying your office. I'm saying your desk. Your desk.
No, my desk would be a disaster.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there'd be toys. There'd be shit everywhere. People. Yeah, I can't imagine.
I do bring toys to every desk I've ever had.
I did turn on the recorder.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah.
I do bring toys to every desk I've ever had.
Yeah, I could imagine.
And maybe that's how people will remember me one day, John.
Maybe.
Let's hope
it's something else, but yeah, okay.
I don't know. I don't know if you listened to part one. I think...
I did not.
Cool. So that gives me a fresh start. I'm going to try to stay on topic here because that's the one I keep getting the same... the only complaint I really get about this podcast is that I can't stay on topic.
I'll try to keep you on topic. But it feels important. Wait, just to go off topic for a second. It was a big week in the Manzo family.
It was. Yeah. I want to give... I mean, I know Al did his whole thing. But
Al has a podcast.
Yeah, Al does have a podcast. Yes. Yeah, so I know Al did an episode on it, and I didn't want to. I did reference it a little bit, but I didn't want to. I don't know, jinx it or what. You know, it wasn't really my news to report.
Right.
But now that it's released, you know, Al got himself engaged.
You know, it was funny. Here's two things that will. That came out of the. I talked to him yesterday, and I was on the phone with him, and they were on speakerphone. Him and Chelsea in the car. Two funny things happened. First, I'm on the phone with him. He's like, John, hold on one sec. Page Six is calling, right?
Oh, he hated saying that.
Yeah, which, by the way, those are words that will never... First of all, I don't know if I'm engaged will ever come out of my mouth. Hopefully not. But, like, if I could promise you if I was, I would never, ever have to say, you know, Page Six is calling because they wouldn't give a shit. And then the second thing was Chelsea was like telling me, she's like, oh, it's a destination wedding. It's in Italy, whatever. I was like, oh, that's, and I was explaining to her, Al knew this, that I already have the PDF of my reply to weddings, you know, the RSVP. I already have one, like a generic one with the will not attend box checked. And I just send it to people when they send me. So that way I don't have to go through any rigmarole. She's like, no, it's a destination wedding. And I'm like, oh, you're making it so much easier for me to say no.
Yeah, it's like telling you no, John. There's gonna be a bunch of people there.
Right. The bunch of people's an absolute no when it's local. But, you know, now that it's in Italy, I could just say no. But anyway, congratulations to Alan Chelsea.
Yeah, and that's going to be, honestly, I'm excited to have something new, like for everyone to go crazy over because – when this family doesn't have anything to talk about, we start making shit up.
Yeah, it gets bad.
So I talked about Alfred Nobel in the part one, and you're not too familiar with him, right?
No, I mean, I know this story because you did give me the top line of it.
So, long story short, to anyone that didn't listen, and to be honest, it wasn't that long. I didn't really do a thing on his life. It's just this one interesting thing of how he came into kind of being synonymous with world peace, was that he created dynamite, and he had there was a false obituary when his brother Ludwig died. I will always say his brother's name because I don't get to say it.
Yeah.
Like, when do you get to say Ludwig?
Do you feel like if you got your dog now, you would have named him Ludwig?
I think she's got a perfect name.
Oh, okay.
Little, and her name's Little, for those who don't know, because she's a little fucked up.
Yeah.
She's got one eye, her teeth are broken, she's super weird, but she's cute. She's like a really cute dog, and she's really good. She held up this podcast for a good 5 minutes just now because she was just enjoying the sun when she was walking, but besides that, she's good. And so I'm happy we named her Little. But yeah, I don't know. Anytime I get a Ludwig, I'll take the chance to say it.
Good.
So Ludwig died. It was mistaken that it was Alfred, and in the papers they called him the Merchant of Death. And I believe it was a maimer of people.
Hmm.
And he didn't like that was his, I'm sorry, he developed new ways to mutilate and kill.
I mean, he did.
And he's now known as the symbol for doing a good job for peace. And I'm not knocking him for that. I'm sure he did do something. He left an endowment fund with a lot of money in it. And, you know, a lot of charitable works were done like in the pursuit of the Nobel Peace Prize, you know. And good things happened, right? So, but I just think it's interesting that he's able to do that. And it makes you start to wonder, like, does how much of what you do in your lifetime, if you care about being remembered a certain way or remembered at all, how much of it actually goes towards that work? Because I can only refer to myself. And I think what's funny about me is I don't think I'm there yet, right? I don't think I have to play the game of if I were to die tomorrow. But it stands to reason I got, you know, let's be really conservative and call it 40 years left, right?
Wow.
I'll give myself 73.
Good for you.
But I also think I'm going to live to like 150 because AI is coming up with so much shit. And now I feel like I should start living dangerously.
So what are we talking about here?
Legacy. I'm getting there.
Okay. I'm sorry.
This is me going off topic.
Gotcha.
So
I know. That's why I'm bringing you back.
Well, it is kind of all works towards what I'm saying though, where yeah. It doesn't matter so much what you do in your life. I guess I didn't have to go into AI saving my life and living to 150, mm-hmm. I suppose.
Right.
So, but the idea basically is what you've done in your life. And I can only speak to myself right now and say like, well, what did you know about me before you met me? Did you know anything about me?
Me?
Yeah.
No. Oh, I know what you're going to say, but no, I did not know that. Is this going to be that? Because I saw it in the headline of the podcast. Is this going to be that car wash?
Yeah, well, anyone that...
Do you know
I
just saw that episode probably 2 weeks ago?
Really? How weird is that for you?
Yeah, it was very weird. Very. Because it was on... it's on one of those, I guess, you know, the streaming things. And it popped up and I saw it out.
We're on Hulu, we're on Peacock. Name it, bro.
It might, yeah, maybe it was Peacock.
I mean, I don't get residuals from it. I talk like we do.
Oh, okay, yeah, Peacock. There you go. That was probably it. But I saw like Al like pop up and I was like, who the fuck? That I was like, that guy looks familiar. And I was like, wait a second. And I actually clicked on it and that was the episode.
So that was the first thing I ever said on camera, right? And I've said that kind of ad nauseum in podcasts.
Is this where you were sitting in your father's office?
No, this is when we were at my parents' house.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I picked up an office. The one I saw, you were sitting in an office talking about going to work at a car wash.
Okay, yeah, well, we kind of activated that as like a storyline later on, but I think that was the second season. The first season of the show, first thing I ever said on camera is that I would love to open a strip club car wash one day. And it was something that I always used to kind of say and joke. I probably meant it when I was younger. Now looking back, just opening a restaurant, there's so much red tape and bullshit. I can only imagine what a stripper car wash would be. But it's still to this day what people kind of expect me to talk about when I meet them if they don't know me from anything but the show or the ham game where we used to throw ham at each other. That was a real thing way before TV. We used to just randomly throw ham at each other in our house. And there was a game behind it, which people don't know. Like if it stuck to your skin, you got to get kicked in the ass. That was like the rules of the ham game. So, and we did it to Al really when he had like a girl over. That was really how it started. Okay. Just to embarrass him, we'd hit him with ham. It's really not nice, but whatever. But those are the things that people remember me for. And I'm like, I've done a lot of stuff since then. And I've also grown up a lot. Like I wrote a book. No one's ever like, there's the children's book guy, you know?
Right. Well, I don't, you know, the thing about it is I don't think you were, it's the platform, right? So the platform where that came out was bigger than, you're obviously not, I would assume that if those, well, the book came out on TV, but that was a different show, right?
The book came out on a different show. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like if you still were on that show, those other, that would be forgotten.
Well, it's not to be honest. Now, so I'm only using myself as an example because I want to kind of make it, you know, why this was interesting to me, mm-hmm. But I don't really consider. Like, I think about it more than you would think. I would like to be remembered for something, which is something that I never really say, but it's probably the only place where my ego exists. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care if people know me now at all, but there's something weird to me about no one knowing me once I'm gone that bothers me.
Seriously? Like, legacy matters to you?
I don't like the word legacy, though, because that legacy almost sounds like the word respect. I don't even care if I get respect. You know what I mean?
What do you give a fuck if people, what people remember? You'll be gone.
I don't know. I don't know, but it's something that I've...
Do you think you're going to be sitting up somewhere with like some bearded guy going, well, I'm really glad people are saying that about me.
I kind of think like, I'm not a very religious person and yeah. I feel like I'm going to lose the audience if I talk more about that.
Here we go.
No, I'm not doing it. I'm not okay, doing all that. Good. But I don't know what, you know, I don't pretend to know what happens when someone dies. Like, I don't think it's logical to say nothing. It's lights out. There's nothing after this. It's, you know, there is no heaven. But I don't think it's logical to say that you go see everyone that you've ever loved in, you know, perfect weather all the time either.
Right.
So I don't know what it is, right? And I think that's the part of it that makes me want to be remembered because it's like, I don't know, you could just be a bug on a windshield. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I like the idea of, it could even be just like a street name. You don't even have to know what I did, but there's something about it that I don't know what, there's something about kind of continuing when you're gone. And I sometimes wonder, and you're like, oh, well, you're on a TV show, so by association, it might happen. I don't think so. And then, have you ever seen Coco?
The little skeletons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
a great movie.
It was great. Yeah. I kind of subscribe to Coco that, like, once people stop remembering you, then you don't exist in the after part either.
Okay. I like that.
Like, remember how that happened? Like, yes, people start to disintegrate if they don't remember their memory and get respected on Día de los Muertos or whatever. I think that, to me, resonated in a weird way because I was like, you know what? That's kind of, even if it's not a real thing, it's real because you basically never existed if people don't talk about you when you're gone. We're here for such a small time in the big
picture. But you also don't, like, so let's take Alfred Nobel. So you know, he obviously had the opportunity to change the narrative. So what you're saying is, okay, I'm looking at this going, I'm being remembered for this strip club car wash.
Oh, I'm just using an example.
I know, but how do I change the narrative?
Right, and I think that's the question I'm trying to get everyone to ask themselves of, like, so here's where I think it's funny for me.
You know what sucks too, though? Some people die, and then shit comes out.
And that's it.
Well, if, you know, everything...
Oh, I thought you meant how you shit yourself when you die.
No, I'm talking about shit comes out about them.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it, right? Like, you find out, like, Henry Ford was a fucking Nazi. Like, all this crazy, you know what I mean? Like, all this stuff comes out about people, and it's like, he's not, you know, I mean, yeah, okay, Henry Ford, the assembly line, you know, if I asked my customers, they would have said, build a faster horse, all these things, but then Nazi.
Christopher Columbus is probably a
Christopher Columbus is a great example, right? Great example.
Where you have a guy that we were told in school is kind of the most important person that ever lived. And granted, we both grew up in North Jersey.
So the
right?
point is you better, right. Yeah. Different animal there. So you better make sure you have no skeletons in the closet. Cause that shit's coming out. And I'll just bring that back. We'll just keep skeletons.
Well, can I say something? First of all, I don't, none that anybody would care about at least. Right. But I think that I would almost take that still though. Like, whatever the version of me, like, Chris Manzo owned a dog. What an animal. Like, in 1,000 years from now, if that's something that's offensive to do. which I don't expect it to be, you know what I'm saying? Like, things that you don't think. Like, Thomas Jefferson, right? He was, like, the biggest slave owner, I think, in America at one time. And we all know that really, you know, well now to be, you know, everything about it to be wrong. But at his time, he just thinks he's acquiring shit. You know what I mean? And I don't think he would even understand that his legacy, why it's so bad now. And obviously, he did a lot of terrible shit to Native Americans. I think that's where most of it lies. But I don't know if it's worse to not be remembered at all even than that, though. Because I really, that's how I look at it, where you basically didn't exist at all if there's not a person that you left some kind of mark on. And that doesn't mean it has to be famous.
Does this conversation have to be about... Can I kind of change this a little bit?
Go ahead.
Or at least give it a little, another layer. Because the Alfred Nobel story is interesting because it's... I get he dies and Nobel Peace Prize, and I never knew about the fireworks. I didn't know he was he invented that. But so he did a good job putting up that smoke screen. But... I think there's also this idea of when you're alive and okay, now this is how people know me. They know me as the kid on this show that said this thing. How do I begin to change that? And that's happening. I mean, that's every day that people do that. I mean, I'm a brand guy. So I always look at it from a corporation standpoint. I mean, that's what they do. They get caught for something and then they go into crisis management mode and try and change the whole narrative and the whole story.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you see it a lot of times with even like celebrities just totally. In the way that they're where you look at somebody like Mark Wahlberg. He does not want to be known as Marky Mark.
Right.
And it's what got him there and it got him to this place. And now for him, it kind of worked out, I would think. Right. Now it's just a guy that's just like, how's your mother doing with a Boston accent? But it's still something different.
Right.
You know?
So. He seems to be, I feel like, I don't know if you watch his show on HBO. It's phenomenal.
I know.
It's called Wall Street. It's good. So it's like a business. It talks about all his businesses and whatever. The guy's an animal. But he seems to be embracing that a little bit a little bit more. But yes, I agree. Celebrities are a great example. To me, I always like the celebrities who just own their shit, right? Like Chappelle.
So what he said one time when he was, not that I don't think that fight has stopped yet, but he was under fire with the trans community, the jokes he made with stand-up, right? He said something, he goes, and then Twitter went wild and I don't give a shit because Twitter's not a real place. And again, that's like an obvious statement, right? But when you hear it, you're like, huh, you kind of can't, right? You can't like cancel a whole ass person. It's really just that person can't tweet anymore.
Right, right.
Like you can't post things without mean comments anymore. But besides that, your life is going to go on. And I think it's interesting when you see, and Chappelle's a good example. Yeah. He's done a really good job of, he was just a few years ago, the, you know, not my words, but like the lunatic that gave up his show to go to Africa. And he's like, I just went on vacation, you know?
Right.
But remember that whole thing?
Yeah.
So you have, you know, Chris Rock, you could work your entire life doing nothing but great stuff. You know, really being at the forefront of comedy and stand up, especially,
you know, for a slap.
And, but yeah, he's known now as like a victim during the Oscars. And I think it's, I don't know what it is to it. You know, I don't have a way to round it out completely, but I think it's just kind of saying, I wish people kind of understood if you care about being recognized, if you care about being remembered for anything, it almost doesn't matter what you do every day.
Yeah.
What's the loudest thing you've ever done? And can you tone that down or tone it or turn it up? You know what I mean? It kind of feels like that's it.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree with that. I think the conversation also, there's that avenue of doing something wrong and then trying to, so in other words, back to your initial podcast with Alfred Nobel, like he did something and then he wanted to change it and he went complete 180 other place. Like, how do I, okay, I'm known as it's violence. How do I then own peace? I mean, that's fucking genius, right?
Oh, yeah.
What he did. But so many, see, this is where it's interesting because this is a cross pollination, right? What can bring, I would almost, and I hadn't thought of this before we started talking, but the what can brands learn from this guy and how he did it? But of course, the marketing PR machine inside of corporations try to do that, but they screw it up terribly. So, I mean, just think of how many companies get caught for something and do something, and then they go the complete opposite way and they promote the hell out of it, and it just comes off disingenuous. It comes off, it just comes off, it's like too little, too late. You should have been thinking about this before. I always think about like that Uber example with the sexual harassment stuff and then how they tried to manage that. I mean, Nike, Apple, Tesla, every CPG brand, tobacco brands, right? Tobacco brands and all the shit they do. It's
Can
incredible.
I tell you, tobacco brands might be the only honest ones. Not that it's up to them, but at least now they say this might kill you.
Yeah, but I'm talking about when it was getting proven that it would kill you, and then they opened up charity. Like, you know, that the brands have like there's this whole business of crisis management. Oop, we made a mistake. Let's bring in the crisis management folks. Okay, let's support the charities that are the opposite of, you know, where we screwed up. We'll even start a charity. Let's start a charity, right?
And remember those truth commercials?
Yeah, but that wasn't the tobacco industry.
No, they were funded by the tobacco industry.
Because the tobacco industry had to do that. That was a part. That's like having to put a PSA on.
But that's kind of their brand now. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, we're dangerous, you know?
Yeah.
And we know it. Like a biker.
Yeah, but they didn't go the opposite way of like, you know, opening a kid's charity.
Here's my question with Nobel and how it pertains to brands. Like this is why the main reason I wanted to have you on. Is that his fault if everyone uses his invention to kill people? Because I don't know what the inspiration to creating dynamite was. I'd imagine it was more to like blow holes in mountains for railroads. Like that's what it was really used for.
Well, that's,
for the most
part. You could look at Einstein and all of them and what they, you know, things that were, you know,
Einstein. Well, that's the
atom bomb and all that, you know.
Einstein created won a Nobel Peace Prize. And that's the other thing I was going to bring up at some point.
Yeah. I mean, I think that people are going to use things how they want to use them. And and then that comes back to bite that person in the ass. And I would say you don't know. I mean, who knows? Who knows what his, you know, the use he saw, what his purpose for that product or that thing was. I mean, we'll never know that. I mean, you could look at brands now and say, you know, cell phones and mobile phones. And then, oh, they're this, they're great, they're whatever. Or even Facebook, right? When you, I mean, Mark Zuckerberg gets crushed for being like, a, you know, a robot. But when he was on Joe Rogan, I mean, he was great on Joe Rogan. I don't know if you listened to that, but it kind of really humanized him. But, you know, this is a kid who started a social network. I mean, you know, you could watch the movie and whatever, but it all the things it's turned into. I mean, he wanted to, you know, hook up with girls and meet girls, but he it turned into all this other stuff. I don't think he ever would have seen the day if you sat there in Harvard and said, you know, countries are going to use this to change the election results or you know, things like that. I don't think this kid would ever saw that.
There's no way I guess you could foresee it, but you can't, right? Yeah. Like,
I mean, you don't know where your strip club car wash would have went.
I mean, no,
you
I always knew
used
it would be
in a
Florida.
Very bad way.
I always knew it would be Florida. So,
right,
but that's kind of like
been
so
used
like,
in a way that you never would have thought.
But like on the surface, McDonald's, right? They at one point in both of their heydays were responsible for distributing more toys than Toys R Us.
Yeah,
good. They have a meal that literally is branded Happy Meal. My niece fucking loves McDonald's. I fucking love McDonald's.
Yeah.
Let me also say this. Hot mustard at McDonald's, if you're not familiar with it. I know I'm going off topic, but no one's ever familiar with it, and I think, you know, you should give it a try. Happy Meals have higher sales than Wendy's, Burger King, Dairy Queen, Arby's, Denny's, and IHOP. Not combined, but their annual sales of just Happy Meals are more than all of those. You have to be a kid to get that, right? So that's just children. And a million cows per year die. Mm-hmm. I'm not giving McDonald's any shit.
Yeah,
is it their fault?
Diabetes.
Is it their fault that people won't stop eating their shit? We did a great job. We branded something. We made it kid friendly. Obviously, we're targeting your kids, but your kids don't have disposable income. So don't blame us if they are eating there 3 times a week. Is it their fault? That's always been my battle internally with business. Like, I kind of root for Logan Roy. I root for the guy and the founder. What was his name?
In what?
The owner of McDonald's, the founder.
Oh,
I don't
remember his name.
I root for these people because I think they're the people with the vision, and they know that, hey, I'm gonna I used to call everything a loaded gun, like anything that could be dangerous. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like it's out of place. Like,
yeah,
I can't say it.
See, here's the thing. So you have like these people who, if you're going to create something, and we could talk about McDonald's and tobacco and whatever, and these people look at it and they have, I'm not saying they do, but some of them do. They have a very Dave Chappelle attitude. Like, hey, look, this is what I created. And if you don't like it, don't fucking buy it for your kids. Now, we're going to market it to them. We're going to, we're going to put a playground outside, you know, with all the slime. We're going to create Happy Meals and give away toys. And we're going to literally do cross promotions with every big movie and give away toys that these kids could never get. They're going to come in. They at least own that. But then at the same time, you have a whole other side of the company who's like, hey, you know what? We got to put out salads and we got to, you know, I mean, you know, Harper gets, he gets a Happy Meal. He gets a Happy Meal with apples on the side and Honest Juice. And I'm like, oh, please, just fucking get the French fries and a milkshake. Like, it's terrible. But you see what I mean? Like, there's a whole nother side of the company that's saying, no, we have to almost put up a smoke screen around this, and we're not that bad. When somebody in the company's like, somebody should just turn around and go, this is what we are. We're shitty food.
But I feel like the cup of fruit and the Honest thing came from lawsuits.
But that's the thing. It's a response. So you get and it probably did, but you see what I mean? Like, own what you are. If you're crappy
right.
food, own crappy food.
And I guess my point to what you're saying is, and don't blame them.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
So if you own what you are, if you're the brand, right? I respect the brand that owns what they are. And I'm going to think of one that does in a minute. And I think you're starting to see a lot more of that recently. People kind of standing behind their.
Yeah, what the essence of the brand is. Yeah.
And I see that in a bad way more than a good way. I'll tell you a good example in a minute that's going to get me in trouble locally. But I have a hard time blaming the manufacturer for stuff. This doesn't go into guns. I feel like I should say that.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is not an NRA thing. It kind of feels like it could be. Mm-hmm. There are also times where things are so out of hand that it should be addressed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Childhood obesity is not that. I don't care how out of hand it is, because all you need to do is be like, no. Mm-hmm. That's it. You know, anything where no can stop it from happening, I feel like it's fair game. Just saying no.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And whether you're a parent, a boss, or whatever. And I feel the same way when I hear about
I just want to say something. Okay.
Yeah.
I cannot wait for the day when you're driving around in your electric car, which, by the way, the battery going to save the world, but the cobalt mines are killing every kid, but we won't go there. But that'll soon come out and there'll be a smoke screen around it. But I cannot wait for the day where you're driving around in your little electric car with your wife and your kids in the back, fucking screaming like a maniac, and you're like, fine, we'll just get a happy meal.
So the funny thing is, talking about legacy, and I meant to bring this up before, and I'll do it quick because I don't want to stay on topic, but that's kind of what I was suggesting before. I don't think I've gotten the chance to start yet. You know what I mean? Like, if I die, what I was saying before, let's say I got 45 years or whatever. Let's say I died 80 years old. The word husband might be in there. I'm not even that yet.
You just keep adding to your lifespan, don't you?
No, it's fantastic. Well, 75 sounded low.
Yeah, I think it was 73.
Fuck.
Yeah, you gave yourself 73, I believe.
My dad's like 64. It's like 8 years from now. No, no. Yeah, I got to be at least 80. So, but that's kind of my point. Let's say we're to say husband or father. It's not going to say father, but let's say it said husband. Like, I'm not that yet. So I don't know what my legacy is yet, even though I feel like I've done a lot.
Right.
But I haven't started of the things that people remember you for. Of like, oh, with his business, he did this. And, you know, he and his wife did this. And I, since I'm not, you know, it's just I feel like I'm still have a lot of time, which is good.
Good for you. Glad you feel that way.
You probably don't feel that way.
We won't get into that. You want to go down that rabbit hole, brother? Because that's a whole nother animal. You don't want to touch that. We were talking about, we were going down the McDonald's just say no thing, and I had said.
Right. So I don't think that's ever going to happen to me because it's not going to be my kids. If I'm with somebody else's kid and they want McDonald's, I'll feed the fuck out of them. I don't care. What?
It seemed like you were going to make some kind of point. Like, hey, just say no and I'm not, you know. Those, but you were about to talk about, and I have to, I mean, I put a pin in this sucker, which was when you said locally there's a company that owns it and you might get in trouble. I'm not letting that go.
So I'm not being coy. I don't remember the name, but I'm going to tell you.
Oh, shit.
I swear to God, because it was so much going on in the van. Because it's a van that I saw. I don't know this business. I just saw this van, and then my brother saw it once since, and he sent me a picture of it. I don't even know the service they provide. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lion,
mm-hmm.
and I think some machine guns, and it's like alpha male something. It could be like it could be meal prep maybe. I really don't know what it is.
Okay.
By the way, now that I'm saying it, I wouldn't be coy. I would just call it out because I want you to see their website and see how fucking stupid it is. But it's all about just like. All just how like men have low testosterone and we've lost our voice and we're this and we're that and we don't want to be persecuted. So like get your sandwiches with us.
Okay.
And it's like I don't know why that came up a second ago. It doesn't really go towards legacy or anything. Oh, that's what I was saying when people stand behind their brands in a way that I don't understand anymore.
Yeah.
And it's not getting done in a way always that's charming is kind of my point. So this guy is, it's all about like how it's not wrong to be a straight male. Like this is your business. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just cut my hair or make or do whatever the hell you plan on doing. I don't need to hear about how I'm being marginalized. I'm not like,
let me ask you a question. What brands, give me the brand that you think, give me brands that you think are completely genuine. Authentic, stand by what they are, and you could even go down the path of controversial or lovable. You know, brands that are beloved.
The only one,
for example, Patagonia. That guy, where he was like, hey, I'm going to take all the profits for the company. And I mean, that guy is truly a believer in saving the environment and sustainability and what have you. And he put all the company's profits behind that, which I thought was insane, but it is absolutely genuine, authentic to who he is. And everybody goes rah, 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 because he's being authentic. But on the flip side, there's probably a brand that you look at and you go, they're just as authentic. You just don't fucking like it. You don't like what they stand for.
I think most of the authentic brands are the ones people don't like. And I think they don't like them a lot of the time because of their authenticity. So if you look at any, and I'm not saying this is a better or worse way to do anything, but probably worse, I guess. But if you were to look at any big brand, like big high-end fashion brand, that sometimes they don't even let you in a store. Or if you go to an art gallery that doesn't put a price tag on it, basically saying if you have to ask, you can't afford it.
Right.
That to me is really genuine in a way that makes other people feel bad because they can't afford something or they feel like they're not supposed to be wearing something. And that's not a good thing. But I think that's just, again, that's the reaction to what you have of what I'm doing. Like if you go to a 3-star Michelin restaurant, they'll like kind of chastise you for not knowing what you're doing. like if they, oh, can you get this without, can I get this? But like with ketchup, like they'll just spit on you and you're the customer, you know? That's authentic. It doesn't mean you have to like it, you know, but if you go anywhere and, you know, Fifth Avenue, or if you're going to go to one of the really nice malls here in Jersey that has like the, you know, the Hermes or Gucci or whatever, there's literally a person at the door like deeming you worthy.
Yeah.
That to me is authentic in a way that we want to come off like an asshole. And I think if you maybe, I think the problem that it gives is if you can afford these things and if you feel comfortable wearing them, buying them, whatever, you almost feel like you have a license to act the same way because like they let you in their club, you know? That's the first thing that comes to mind. I'm sure there's a happy one I could think of too. But I think you see it more with small local brands like the guy I'm referring to that wants to do alpha male haircuts, whatever that means. And I guess, I don't really know. You know, I don't even think there's many people on TV that are genuine at this point. Like, I don't really.
Well, see, I kind of feel the opposite. I feel like authenticity and being genuine, I feel like that is I could tell you this. On a corporate level, it's all people talk about. That those words, authenticity and being genuine and humanizing, especially when it comes to leadership at a company, that is the biggest theme. HR people must say that 30 times a day. We need to humanize our leaders. Our brand needs to be, you know, marketers. Our brand needs to be human. It needs to be funny, sarcastic, this, that. And by the way, you can, the problem is a lot of times they don't know what the voice of that brand is, or they try to have multiple voices and it just doesn't work. But even the leaders of companies, like you may not like Elon Musk, right? But the guy is genuine. He's genuine. He says what he wants to say. And he's like, if you don't like it, too bad. And he doesn't. And if he's wrong, I feel like he's also a guy who's like, hey, look, I was wrong about that or whatever. I don't have an example of that. And I, you know, don't hold me to that. But he does come off genuine to me, whereas other leaders come off very staged, polished, scripted. And, but I think that idea of be genuine is now the flag everybody's waving. I just don't think people are very good at it, or brands aren't very good at it. But, you know, I'll hand it to that. I'm still trying to look up that van.
I could see if my brother still has a picture of it, and I'll tell who it is. But I would argue, though, what you're saying, John, is they don't want that at all. I think they want the appearance of that.
That's possible.
They also want to be safe, and you can't be safe and genuine all the time.
That's right, and I agree with that. And that's where I 100% agree, and that's where I think they fall down. But I'm just saying the idea of being genuine, be real, is whatever. It's the flag they're waving, but you're right. At the same time, it's horseshit.
Because
they can't do it and they won't do it.
Let's use Bud Light, right?
Yeah, great example.
Was it Dylan Mulvaney? Is that the name?
Yep, something like that.
So, Dylan Mulvaney has 150 million followers, I think, or impressions, whatever. What fucking brand wouldn't want to get their brand in front of 150 million people? I don't care what they are, right?
Right.
That's really all what the root of what they were doing was that. I will say it has nothing to do with acceptance and equality and all of that. It had everything to do with 150 million people. Mm-hmm. And if that, if there were an account with a octopus that did art with 150 million people, that octopus would get a fucking Bud Light can delivered to its house. Yep. If they believed in what they were saying, and I think what they did was saying it was like the 150th day celebrating of being a woman. If this is where I found, this is where I found them to be, not, you know, like, in the wrong Bud Light, they didn't stick to it.
Yeah.
So you're getting backlash, you're getting shit. That part already happened.
Yeah.
This is your opportunity to look like you have a backbone.
Yeah.
And instead you put out this really weird, not apology, just total word salad.
Didn't PepsiCo do that with Kendall? Something happened a couple years, I forget.
Well, Kendall Jenner, this was my favorite commercial, I think, of our generation. During
your
COVID. Yeah, sorry. So, well, just to put a button on the Bud Light thing, I don't really have an opinion on the Bud Light thing. But, like, I don't think sending anything to an influencer is wrong. I don't know why Kid Rock felt the need to shoot
here's
it.
Here's the opinion. The opinion should be, if you're going to do it, stick to it.
That's
it. And back it up, because if you don't, it goes to show you didn't mean it.
And that's my argument to genuine with you. Because somebody in a room said it would be
marketer.
So
marketers
real, so raw,
terrible.
Genuine, it's edgy, and then it's done, and they get shit for it, and they're like backpedal.
Because marketers preach. I'm saying, like, they wave these flags, and so do HR people internally and all this kind of stuff. They wave the flags, but they don't truly they don't. Here it is. They don't practice what they preach. It's, you know what I mean? Right. If you're going to do it, say what you do and do what you say.
I think Red Bull's genuine.
I do too.
They're like, drink this and jump out of a fucking plane.
Yeah. Yeah. Tesla's genuine. I think the guy puts it out there and he's like, look, I know where the batteries come from. Sorry.
So yeah. And I don't want to, you know, I don't want to just complain the whole time, because I do have a lot of things. So going back to things that make me happy, like you said, Pepsi had to retract something, right?
Yeah.
So this wasn't a retraction. It was just like the absolute best commercial ever. Do you obviously remember COVID? so COVID, I also have a theory, speaking of legacy and things, that like 2020 hasn't stopped yet. Like, it's still been 2020. Like, the year can go longer than 3 years.
Tell me about this, because I don't remember the Kendall.
Okay, thing. So you remember, obviously, COVID, everything was pretty bad. And then there was a lot of the race riots and a lot of standoffs. Like, how many times you turn on the news, there's people standing off against the police, like, mm-hmm. every single day, right?
Sure. Yep.
So they had a commercial with Pepsi where there was one of these moments. It was like, I don't know if you ever saw No Church in the Wild, the video. It's a Jay-Z and Kanye video, but it was like that. Where it's just like a riot, fires and people staring and people screaming and, you know, racially divided. And Kendall Jenner walks up to like a SWAT team member, I think it was, like a real tactical gear guy.
Right.
And I think he had some kind of weapon in his hand, and she cracked open a Pepsi and handed it to him. And then, like, the protest was over.
That's okay.
And then Pepsi had to post, like, hey, we know that Pepsi can't solve all this.
It's like,
but like, what are you doing? Yeah. Like, you have Kendall Jenner, just have her drink it and go,
Can I ask
that's
you?
It.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think there is a chance? Like, and serious question. I learned today about the Nobel Peace Prize and how the guy created dynamite. And, you know, I don't think that's that big of a deal. But do you think there is a possibility somebody could dig up something on Alfred Nobel and the Nobel Peace Prize become just what was just they cancel it and they never give it away again because they find something out about it?
Yes.
Me too.
I don't think it's that. Like, it's not the dynamite thing, but that you're 100%. That can definitely happen.
Yeah, well, that's to my point to where you shouldn't give a shit what people are saying once you die, because the truth of the matter is, it's somebody, if they care enough, they're going to dig something up and find the dirt and you're done. So, think you're dying like Alfred Nobel died going, you know what? I created this Nobel Peace Prize. No one even knows about that whole dynamite fiasco, And now in 2023, somebody's going to dig something up and there's no more Nobel Peace Prize and he's screwed.
Or like when Thomas Jefferson finds out he's not on the 20 anymore.
There you go.
So I'm going to go off topic as much as I want because it's my fucking show and I want to go off topic sometimes.
And let's wind this down.
Yeah, but we're going to wind it down, but I'm going to have fun on the way down.
Okay, good.
So the, I know you have a, you have an out too.
Yeah.
So the, couple things that I wanted to get into was, first off, has anyone contributed more to the Looney Tunes than Alfred Nobel?
I'm not sure I even understand what
you're talking about. The amount of dynamite that was used.
Right. That's a great point.
So, and I thought about it, and I was joking when I said it in part one, but it's been sticking with me. I'm like, that's a different show without Alfred Nobel. The whole thing is different.
Yeah, I mean, Wile E. Coyote is not even gonna, that doesn't happen.
I said it's like finding out who the guy who made signs that say, oops, like.
It's really, yeah.
So that was my one thing. Yeah. That was fun for me. That was pretty much the whole thing there. Two, when I first came up with this idea for Nobel, I wanted to go down a different rabbit hole. I just have such a darker side where I want to talk about how people are liars all the time. I don't know what that's a job for a therapist, but
yeah, probably.
I wanted to talk about how awards are bullshit, which I guess is still the liar thing.
Mm-hmm.
And to your exact point about Nobel, I kind of want to go on a deep dive about whoever the hell Oscar is.
Right.
I know Oscar's named after a person.
Well, the good news is you just throw that into ChatGPT and you got it.
So, but if he can be canceled, I don't think ChatGPT is going to say that.
Oh.
But what if we on this podcast tried to cancel Oscar?
Right.
And then
dug deep to find the dirt.
The Oscars had to change their name.
Yes.
To something else.
I love that. I want to do it for the Nobel Peace Prize.
I'm sure he did other stuff.
They definitely did. That guy, I mean, let's dig and find out. I mean, all we need is one good piece of dirt. And then we could have it canceled. And there'll be no more Nobel Peace Prize. And
yeah, I just thought there was so much on the surface with this that I didn't really think to find out other things with him.
Yeah.
I did look up other stuff he invented. And I guess since he's, I don't even know what the hell you have to be to create.
And by the way, you never know. Maybe this dynamite thing will get him off the hook. But I think a lot of people will be like, yeah, you know what? Dynamite has its, you know, its advantages. Dynamite's the happy meal.
Dynamite's the happy meal. It does have its advantages. It.
Don't bring them to those tents that they have all over, you know, down here in North Carolina.
And like the Angry Birds use dynamite.
Right.
It's, right. It actually had a really big impact on kind of like jokey things.
Yeah.
You know? And I think, I don't know, that's pretty much my biggest takeaway was that I don't know. First of all, I'm assuming it's like a World War I thing. Like, where do you think dynamite was used the most to hurt people? That's the thing I guess buildings and shit, like for bombings. But this article came out about him in 1888.
Yeah, well, there was no Twitter.
Not like there was like a, you know what I mean? Like a,
if there
like
was
a,
Twitter, he'd have been screwed.
Right?
Yeah, it would have been the same thing. People would be like, no, we're not going to give you, this Peace Prize thing is BS. He just buried the dynamite thing.
They'd be like, say his name, Alfred Nobel. There'd be a picture of him and his voting record.
I really think that's a fascinating story because it really is exactly what's going on today and what so many brands try to do. You make a mistake and they try to go the complete opposite way and create something, whether it be a charity or whatever, or some kind of messaging or marketing or advertising, and they end up trying to just kind of push that under the rug and get away with it. And you look at it and you go, a lot of times they can't because there's so many people calling them out. And this Nobel would have been that, the Peace Prize never would have happened. Never would have happened. Because somebody would have been like, fuck you.
And like, you could probably find, and this is kind of the whole point of Chris 3 as a show. The idea to do this was to show that we aren't so different. And like, we really haven't evolved the way people think we have. And we've seen every situation before. Like, none of this is new.
Well,
and
that we feels know very that we new. Haven't evolved because the guy created dynamite and people found a bad side to it because people were getting maimed and it was violence and it was whatever. And he probably created it. I don't know this. I doubt he created it. I doubt he was like, you know what? I'm going to create something to blow little kids' hands and faces off. Like, I don't see him sitting in a lab thinking that's the objective. He was probably like, we got to find a better way to blow tunnels through mountains to, you know, like you said, put up railroad tracks, whatever it is. I'm sure it was something noble in his Nobel. Pursuit. Right. I was being, you know, facetious, but I think it was something, there was probably a positive reason behind creating it. And then just like everything, even today, there's a group of people going, you blew my kid's hands off, where the Happy Meal, where somebody could turn around and go, well, then don't let your kids play with the goddamn dynamite.
Right. Dynamite is one of those things that kids shouldn't play with.
Right. Right.
And I think we have a name of the episode.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. So that was fun.
Keep hands and face away.
Also, Andrew Carnegie. Like, didn't he donate his whole, like, he spent the latter end of his life just donating so people would remember him, and he wanted to just be like a philanthropist. And now it's like, you know, Carnegie Hall and all these, but yeah. I'm sure he was responsible
that guy's
bad shit.
And you know, somebody was digging it up. There was no social media get it out there. I'm very, very curious to see, and maybe there's, you know, this will be a conversation for when I finally see you at some point. The conversation would be, what will be Chris's, you don't like the word legacy, but what will be the thing that people do remember you for? I know we'd have to fast forward through you being married, kids, old, all those kind of things.
What is your obsession with me having kids?
Well, I'm just fast forwarding through your future.
But I don't want them.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't want kids.
Oh, good for you.
And everyone always tells me I'm going to change my mind. I'm fucking 34 years old. When is the change going to happen?
Yeah, I mean.
Hey, last legacy person, and then I'm done.
Okay.
Because I thought of a good, genuine person that people probably don't know, and I feel like people should know him.
Yeah.
Not that he's not famous or anything, but if you're not familiar with Chef World, Sean Brock. I should have probably honestly led with him because I think it's actually a good one. I just thought of him now.
Okay.
Sean Brock is a chef in the South. He has a Husk. I forgot the name of his other place, actually, but I went to Husk in Nashville. He's got Husk in Charleston. And he's obsessed with the South, right? He kind of grows his own stuff. And everything that he thinks of it as his life's work to go through like North African agriculture. Because like okra and certain greens and things that come from the South that we associate with the South are really seeds that slaves took with them when they got taken to America. And that's why the South has such different agriculture than we do, because they have different things. Hmm. And he's so proud of, you know, just how the South is so different than everywhere else in the world, really, that he's trying to bring back those traditions and bring back those ingredients because he wants to kind of pay homage to and make sure that their legacy stays as people that suffered in their time here, but still felt so rooted in their traditions from home that they brought them to a new place with them, even though they were basically not basically in prison. They were enslaved. It's worse than in prison. And he has his whole Husk, his whole brand is dedicated to the legacy of the South. His cookbook is called Heritage. If you ever want
to
look at it,
you would say that he is to you a great example of somebody who is genuine and authentic.
Extremely. Yeah. I mean,
that you're talking chefs, you know, I'll go the Bourdain route.
Yeah. I mean, he gives me the Hunter S. Thompson thing of like, throw myself all the way into it. And you know, I don't know something. It's genuine in a different way of like, I'm going to immerse myself in something so much that I'm not even me anymore. I'm just me in this. You know, like, you know, when he's in the way he'd be in Vietnam, you would think he grew up there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Bourdain's obviously your guy, but for sure, the way he did Kitchen Confidential, what people don't get is people still to this day, they I don't order seafood on Mondays. Right. That was from Kitchen Confidential.
Yeah.
That's, you know what I mean? That's not like some like chef's tale. He inspired, and I actually have a chef one that I want to do about Marco Pierre White and lead into Bourdain. So I wanted to bring you into that a few weeks from now. Do you know who Marco Pierre White is?
I do not.
Look into him. He's awesome. He, youngest Michelin star chef ever. He returned his stars. Just a badass. Again, super genuine. But
well, Michelin, isn't that interesting? Michelin stars, I mean, you know, it is Michelin. Huh?
It's bullshit.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's Michelin tires. And why did they create that? What was the premise around that?
Because
you have to...
Because truckers in France would go into rest stops and not know where to eat. So Michelin would rate places based on the places in France that they can go and try. And the star system is actually based on your travel.
Yeah, marketing ploy.
So if it's one star, it's worth going to if you're there.
Yeah.
If like if you're in the city, something like this. You know, the people have their own definitions. Two stars, like if you're in that country, it's worth going. Three stars, it's worth a destination to go. Like it's worth going there for that reason.
Okay.
Did I lose you?
No.
So, yeah. So chefs, there's a lot of genuine with chefs. There's a lot of not genuine with chefs. But same with Michelin. Like, there's things that you need to do to meet a criteria. And I think you should be rewarded for being yourself, you know? And I love the whole Michelin system. I love following it. But most chefs that have achieved it in their books or memoirs or whatever, we'll kind of call it bullshit. I think it's easy to say once you've achieved it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I can go on this for a really, really long time.
This was good, man. I think you closed the loop on your last episode. I'll have to take a listen to that.
Nice.
There we go. Another hour.
We did it.
Yeah, if we do this again, man, we got to try to get this down to like 30 minutes.
I think an hour is good.
You think so?
No.
I mean, I feel like people think we might talk too long because I feel like we're just kind of like I kind of forget what we're doing.
Well, so I said that in part one. I was like, I have Palumbo and I'm going to keep this short. I think I left another 20 minutes the first one.
Right.
And I was like, because I gave it like an extra day or two. I was like, because me and John can go and yeah. I don't like cutting it off. So,
yeah.
So we're good. I think it's worked out.
All right, my man. Well, always good to talk to you.
Appreciate you as always.
Yeah.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.